But then Gurudas Prabhu actually found it in a magazine in the British Museum. And then Srila Prabhupada was happy to find it, and he read it and explained one thing that I will mention. So it begins, "Adore ye all the happy day. Blessed than heaven, sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace." So, sweeter than May. In India, May is the hottest month. But Srila Prabhupada commented that he had read that in the Western countries, May is a good month. So even then, many years before Srila Prabhupada came to America, he was thinking of his audience, his preaching field. And even before then, after that, when he took sannyas, although the people in the mutt where he accepted sannyas were basically Hindi speakers, but he spoke in English again. Preparing himself for his future mission or acknowledging his future mission. "Oh, my master, the evangelic angel, give us thy light, light up the candle, struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope is divine grace." So everyone in the material world who's not surrendered to Krishna is struggling for existence, and it's actually a big problem. Of course, on the most basic level, of course, there's no problem. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there is no scarcity. The only scarcity is of Krishna consciousness. But because of forgetfulness of Krishna or rebelliousness against Krishna, we imagine that there is scarcity. We imagine that we have to work hard just to exist. And now people have so much stress, so much anxiety. There's so much sickness, and a lot of the sickness is related to stress and anxiety. Struggle for existence. A human race, the only hope is divine grace. So the only way to become free from the hard struggle for existence is to accept the lotus feet of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the instructions on how to surrender to Krishna and actually take shelter of Krishna. There's Yeah, of course, the same philosophy is there in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But the basic point is when we become envious of Krishna and turn away from him, we come into the material world and face the hard struggle for existence. And if by the mercy of a spiritual master like Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we can realize the futility of rebelling against Krishna and decide instead to surrender to Krishna, then the whole phantasmagoria of the hard struggle for existence is removed. Misled, we are all going astray. Save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wonder thy ways to turn our face. Adore thy feet, your divine grace. So, this phrase, our fervent pray, is very significant because yayatamam prapadyante, as one surrenders to the Lord, so the Lord reciprocates. So we may pray officially because we have heard that we should pray, or because the other devotees are praying, so we think we should also pray. But our prayer will have effect when we actually feel that we're misled and we're going astray, and with great fervor we pray, save us. Any ordinary person can understand the mood of another person's voice. I've been listening to Burijan Prabhu's series on the mind and the holy name. And he gives the example of the merchants in Loy Bazaar. Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Prabhu, come, come. So they're saying Hare Krishna, but they're not saying Hare Krishna. They're not calling out to Krishna. What are they saying?
Come
back. I want your money. That's what they're saying. Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna. But what they're really saying is, I want your money. I want your money. So even us ordinary human beings can understand what is the person really saying. And so what to speak of Krishna? He knows what we're really saying when we chant or mouth any prayer or a philosophical statement. And even without the words being articulated, we can understand the urgency of the call. His Holiness Niranjan Swami told the story of one child. His father was doing deity worship in the Boston temple, and the boy would always, you know, go here and there and play and sometimes cry. But sometimes the crying is to just to get attention, or, you know, crying can be done in different ways and for different purposes. And similarly, calling the name, you know, it may not be serious, but the child might just want attention or something. So this one time, the boy, you know, he was, you know, calling out. No one took it very seriously because he would always do that. But then he started to call out louder and louder. And, well, maybe something's happening, maybe not. No one was really sure. And finally he started like crying out hysterically. And then, okay, this is serious. He's not just trying to get attention or something like that. And then they rushed to where the cries were coming from. And it turned out that he had locked himself in the toilet. He couldn't get out. Now, in a way, that's like our position. We're like stuck in the stool house of material existence. And we cannot find our way out on our own. But if we're actually sort of enjoying, you know, sort of, you know, seeing the good qualities in it, you know, we might call up in a sort of half-hearted way, and then we won't call out, and, you know, might think of how we could adjust to being in that situation. But when we really want to get out, when we're really desperate to get out, then we really cry out, and then we saintly persons and the Lord, they hear the urgency of the prayer and they come running. So misled we are, all going astray, save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wonder thy ways to turn our face. So yeah, going astray, we've turned away from Krishna, we've turned away from our real life, and we're going astray further from Krishna. And so it's, you know, wonder thy ways. It's not easy to turn a person's face back towards Krishna. Not at all easy. It takes great conviction and intelligence and sincerity and mercy. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, paying most heavy the illusion's toll. So toll is like a tax. And when we come into the realm of illusion, and when you turn away from Krishna, that's where you are. You're in the realm of illusion. The reality is that Krishna is the Lord and Master. He's the enjoyer. He's the proprietor. He's the controller. And we are meant to serve him. That is reality. And when we are in our constitutional position, we are free. But when we turn away from Krishna, or when we become envious of Krishna and want to take his place, we turn away from him, and we try to cultivate the illusion that we are the center and everyone should serve us and worship us. And in that illusion, we pay a very heavy toll. I mean, in one level, birth, death, old age, and disease. So many, so many. And people actually, they may not think of it consciously. They may not articulate it, or even if they think it, they may not articulate it because it sounds so extreme. But that's the underlying psychology. I want to be God. I want to be the center. I want everyone to serve me. I want everyone to love me. I want everyone to worship me. As Burijan Prabhu says, it's like underneath it all, people, they really want everything to stop, and they want people to hear them. And what they want to say is, I am the center. You should serve me. It's like, there's so much activity and people just say, stop! I have an important announcement to make. I'm the center. You all should serve me. You all should satisfy me. And everyone, how many billions of human beings now? 5 billion human beings. Each one underneath it all is feeling, stop! I have an important announcement to make. I'm the center. You should serve me. You should love me. You should worship me. And so it's with all these sort of conflicting announcements, it's very hard to have any sort of peace and harmony. So, bitterness, frustration, conflict, these are all illusions told. Darkness around all untrace, the only hope is divine grace. But yes, in this darkness, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar, that Krishna is light and Maya is darkness. Where there is Krishna, there can be no Maya. So, darkness around, because we've turned away from Krishna, so it's all darkness. Untrace. We cannot trace anything. We can't trace our way out of the darkness. The only hope is divine grace. So this is the same thing. When we really are tired of paying illusions toll, when we're tired of groping in the darkness, then we can pray, our only hope is divine grace. When we pray in sincerity, in a desperate mood, an urgent mood, then there's an immediate reciprocation. Message of service, thou hast brought a healthful life as Chaitanya wrought. Unknown to all, it's full of grace. That's your gift, your divine grace. So the first four verses depict the position of the fallen soul in the material world and the urgent appeal to his divine grace to save the soul from the hard struggle for existence. And now, so there's, sort of natural tendency is after one realizes that one is suffering, is if one doesn't know about Krishna consciousness, the natural tendency is negation, just to give up one's individual existence or merge and become one with some impersonal light or enter into the void or some negative approach to escaping the hard struggle for existence. But what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur brought was very positive. A healthful life. The material life is diseased, so it's not like suicide, but no, it's a healthful life instead. Healthful life of service. And that service should be unmotivated and uninterrupted. Kahaitukiya pratiyata yayatma supraciditi, in order to satisfy the self. We want satisfaction. We want satisfaction. And we can get it through pure devotional service. If it is ahaituki, a pratyata without any interruption, interruption, what would interrupt it? Excuse me, I have an important message. That interrupts it. When instead of Krishna being the center, we want to be the center. Instead of working to please Krishna, we want to please our senses or our mind. So uninterrupted and unmotivated. We don't do it to get some personal reward, but we do it just to please Krishna. Then this next verse, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur especially appreciated. And Srila Prabhupada commented that when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he would like point out this verse to his leading disciples, how Srila Prabhupada had written so nicely and understood his mission. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. This gives us a life anew and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. Words. Had you not come, who had told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold? That's your right. You have the mace. Save me a fallen, your divine grace. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur conveyed the message of the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the previous acharyas, forcefully and boldly. And he says, that's your right, you have the mace. What is a mace? A club, yeah. So sometimes we need to be like hit with a club because we're so hard-headed and stubborn that we need that. In another place, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that sadhu means to cut. So the sadhu, he exposes our weaknesses, our material desires, and they come marching out of our heart like animals. And you know, he stands there ready to cut them, these material desires and attachments. And so people, they may not like that. They may not like to be exposed. Well, they can't help being exposed before the sadhu, but they may not like that he's trying to cut their material attachments. And he said, therefore, sometimes a sadhu has enemies. And he had many, actually, because he challenged many artificial people who assumed positions of artificial superiority over others, like the caste Goswamis, caste Brahmins, without really being qualified. And then on down the line. Had you not come, who had told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold? That's your right. You have the mace. Save me a fallen, your divine grace. But he's not thinking, I mean, it's true that others needed that, but, you know, Srila Prabhupada in his ability is saying he needed it. So please use your mace and save me. The line of service as drawn by you is pleasing and healthy like morning dew. It's refreshing. It's the same idea that Krishna consciousness is a new life, a pleasing life, a healthy life, a refreshing life. The oldest of all in new dress. This is also very important. It's the same message of Krishna that's thousands of years old, millions of years old, but in a new dress. He presented it according to time, place, and circumstance, and as he had these huge theistic exhibitions and dioramas and newspapers and all sorts of new ways, novel ways of presenting the same message. The oldest of all, but in new dress, miracle done, your divine grace. Yeah, it is a miracle to be able to present Krishna consciousness so powerfully and so ingeniously, so that people's faces actually are turned back to Krishna. It's like a miracle. And he did that, and Srila Prabhupada took that power from his spiritual master and came to the West, and he did that miracle, which was even more miraculous. And from the West, it's all over the world. So we are indebted to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in so many ways, and of course especially for inspiring and empowering Srila Prabhupada. And when we read, say, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava and really understand Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's mission and programs, so much of what Srila Prabhupada did, almost everything that Srila Prabhupada did, can be traced to his Guru Maharaj's strategy or program for presenting Krishna consciousness. And it's really because of him that we are all here today. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
So you mentioned how you read the story of the child, like praying and calling out with that fervent sincerity. So how do we, if you don't have that, how do you get that?
Well, we are in a very precarious position. Like Srila Prabhupada said, we should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. It means like the child's lost, the child is in need. So we are lost and we are in need, but we don't call out because, I mean, if we don't call out, it's because we think that we don't need Krishna. We think that we can do it on our own. We can be successful on our own. And we're not aware of how dependent on Krishna we are, how precarious our position is. And so it's so we can remember that by reading and by hearing, which is like reading. And also it helps to be with devotees. I could feel that in New Dwarf. It's like, you know, there's just a few of you in a household. There's, you know, one or two or three devotees. You know, it's like everyone else is in illusion and they're engaged in the hard struggle for existence, and they're thinking, they're speaking, they're acting, it all reinforces the bodhi concept of life. It's sort of like that line that Prabhupada used to quote, like, where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. It's like So you sort of think, well, there's something wrong with you, because they're all working for money, they're all working for sense gratification, they're all whatever they do, you know, eating in restaurants, going to movies, and taking trips and different things. So you know you think like this is that's real and that this is illusion, not illusion, but yeah, in a large community of devotees, you actually feel like, wow, this is like, it's like a whole world. You know, it's, unless you're quite advanced, I mean, quite advanced, you may not get that feeling like there's like a whole world in your house. You know, you feel you have to go out into the world. And then when you go out into the world, it's Maya. But in a large community, it's like well, it really is like a whole world. It's like, and they're all devotees, and they're all trying to become Krishna conscious and to not succumb to the illusion that are commonly shared by ordinary people. Yeah, I guess, yeah, very strong person. He can, like Srila Prabhupada coming all alone. But most people, they need that association and support. And it is an advantage to live in a community of devotees. I mean, circumstances are such that we might not, and there can also be austerities involved in living in a community of devotees, but that feeling like that society out there, that material society, isn't the only society. There's another society of devotees, of Krishna conscious people. Okay, they have their society and their values. The devotees also have their society and their values. So we can, you know, we can have our own society. We can be in our own community. Whereas if you're alone, you know, it's not that easy to have that feeling. Of course, you can get it by going, spending time with that. Yeah. But, you know, Janma-mrityu-jara-vyadhi-dukkha-dosa-vidarshanam. We should always be conscious of these miseries. We should be conscious. Be conscious that your power to speak, we depend so much on our powers, the powers of the body. But those powers can be taken away at any time. Power to speak, power to think, like a stroke. Power to lift your hand, move your, I mean, it could all be taken away. In fact, as Srila Prabhupada said, it's all on loan. It's like you're renting a house and you know it's not yours, you can't stay there. And Srila had to vacate, so all the body, all the faculties of the body and the mind, eventually we will lose them at the time of death, but even before then, they can be taken away at any time. So, you know, sometimes there's that expression, you know, like, chant as if your life depended on it. But actually, our life does depend on it. And our real life does depend on it. So, I guess by hearing, that's the main reason, main way. And then just sort of soberly analyzing the actual situation. And when you realize how precarious your position is and how helpless you are to really do anything on your own without Krishna's sanction or mercy, then and you chant with more feeling, you cry out with more feeling. And so Kunti prayed that, yeah, you're the property of the Akinchana. And those who are on the path of material progress, they cannot approach you with feeling. So when we think that material things can give us shelter, then we think we don't really need Krishna because we have those material things that we can work to get those material things. But when we realize that the only shelter is Krishna, then and we need that shelter, then we can approach him with feeling.
So, but that's, it's different in some ways than, say, than chanting the Buddha's service. I mean, I can relate more to Krishna, please save me from the calamities of this precarious world, which is just so dangerous and difficult. I mean, I can really give myself more to that. And Krishna, I'm yours, just please engage with your service.
Well, the two go together, actually. It's brought out very nicely in the poem. That save me, but what does that mean? It means you're picked up out of the illusion and put in the reality. But yeah, praying like what you said first, that's good. That's good. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it. Bhavam Buddhir, this horrible ocean of nations. Yeah. It's like you're drowning in the ocean. First you want to get saved. Then you realize, well, you're not going to just stay on the boat forever. You'll be taken to the land and you'll have a life there. Less gravity.
It's the service that saved us. So if we are praying to be saved, it's the same as praying for the service.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true what you said about service, how important service is. Yeah, that's also part of the association of devotees, the opportunity to serve. That's very important. Very important. Yeah, very, very, very important. You can dry up without service. And if you try to chant, and the chanting is a prayer for service, so, yeah, that's very good. All right. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.